Does anybody have any general questions? Hello, Eileen.
Hi.
So I see you have 4.0 installed.
Yo ho, yes.
Okay, I'm going to put you on the spot. What do you think of it now that you have it up and running?
I have questions, but oh, I think it's terrific. As I thought I would, I love the new menu system. It's just terrific to get I mean, the help system is so much more accurate and better. It's great.
Oh, fire your questions away.
All right, let me check my notes.
Oh, notes.
All right. If I'm not following a route, I simply want to know intersections. I don't care about destination or anything. So all what I have on for multiple repeats are let's see, heading and intersection. Is that going to be as accurate if I just have those turned on, or would they be more accurate if I created a route?
No, that's going to be accurate just as if you're walking the map without having a route loaded. So yes, that will be accurate if you're just repeating intersections.
Okay, that's what I thought. Now, what was happening though, and maybe I'm doing this wrong, when I went into the multiple repeat, I wanted to turn those two features on, have everything else off, and I wanted to check, to make sure that that was all I had turned on. But every time I put in a command, it would exit out of the multiple repeat. So, is there something I should be doing to stay in there to do several tasks?
Once you hit the hotkey, so you've hit M and then X for turning on intersections, it turns them on and then exits, or turns them off and then exits. Now, if you want to browse to see what options are on, you just hit M and then you space bar down through the menu items, and it'll say intersections on, heading on, cities off, nearest address off. So it'll tell you that, and then when you don't, if you actually hit enter on one of those, say you want to turn nearest address on, you hit enter on that, it turns it on and takes you back out of the menu.
Okay, so I was right then. Those two, when I did my headings and my intersections, it took me out each t exited after each of those commands, and that's the way it is then.
Yes, that's correct behavior.
Okay, now let's see. How can we do this? I had noticed. Now I just cut my M-Power back from HumanWare for better or worse. I'm not sure. So I haven't used it that long. I don't know if this was a fluke or not, but I had noticed before I used GPS that it would get stuck. And using Z cord or E cord, no matter what I did, I couldn't get out of it. I was in the middle of a reading something. I did notice, however, that when I wanted to know when I did the T chord for time, that did take me out of my stuck mode. Now I'm wondering, and I think the same thing happened today with when I tried to use GPS. I got a message attempting to connect to Bluetooth receiver, and I knew before that I had checked. And so, I was paired and active and everything else. Probably an hour before. So, attempting to connect to Bluetooth receiver, and then it just was stuck at an address that was at the beginning of my route. So, my question is, what would be the best way to get unstuck if it was the M-Power doing that? And still maintain, without losing my connectivity.
Okay, are you talking about it locking up, or are you talking about messages just being on the display? If you're talking about messages being on the display, you can clear those by using the previous thumb key, which is all the way to the left.
I'm thinking, I just couldn't, you know, I tried to exit out of it, and I couldn't exit out or do anything. I don't know if the previous, I didn't try the, I don't, let's see. I don't think I tried the previous thumb key. Okay, so, all right, but let's say that I had tried to get out of this by getting the time just to get myself out of something that I thought was stuck. It would then ask me what? Would it still be in GPS at that point?
Yes, and that's when you would use your previous thumb key to clear the time.
Oh, okay. Now I'm with you. All right. All right. Let's see. And I thought, again, since I really haven't had it that long. What is the keystroke just to double check? To make sure that my connectivity is indeed still all set.
Backspace with R on a BT and control with R on a QT will try to reconnect to your GPS receiver if it has been disconnected, or you can just hit G to check your GPS set status.
Bravo. All right, let's see. Okay, let's see. Oh, I got one more. When I first start the system, one of my options is to press G for GPS mode, even when my receiver isn't turned on. What would be some of the uses to do that?
Yes, if you wanted to just browse your last GPS position, you know, nearby points and things like that, you could jump directly to your last GPS position because it is saved, or you can jump directly into virtual mode without having the receiver turned on, and that's what that prompt is for. So if you turn, say you go into, and you know, this is for everybody, if you go into GPS and it says turn on GPS name, press C to connect, press G for GPS mode, or V for virtual, you have the option to, oh, I forgot to turn my receiver on, so I'll turn it on and I'll wait a few seconds and then hit C to connect. Now if you say, okay, well, I know my receiver's off, I want to keep it off, and then I can hit V to go into virtual mode, start browsing, or I can hit G to go into GPS mode and browse, or at least look at nearby points of interest and city and nearest address of your last GPS position.
Well, thank you for just getting 4.0. Those are my questions for this round, and thanks. That's very, very good.
Okay, good. Now, one thing I wanted to touch base on, and we talked about this before, was the creation of a manual route, meaning a route that you don't have street maps for. So you're going on a hike, or you're going camping, or you're going wherever, that you don't have street maps for. So you would create a manual route to get yourself back to where you are. So what you can do is you do a R for route and then O for open, and it'll prompt you for the drive, the folder, and the file name, standard Keysoft behavior. And you give it a file name, press enter, and then it'll start recording the route. So you'd want to put in your first waypoint by doing a space dot two on a BT, or a read with K on a QT, and that will drop your first waypoint.
Oh, well, sometime at their front office, you know, they'll have a crash, system crash, so everything go down. I'll go and check in the my site for the TC5. I have three sites, and I check those out, and then they're all down too, so I test. So sometimes the TC5 shut down.
Okay, well, before my system crashed and I had to restart, or actually it decided it wanted to restart, I was talking about creating a manual route, which is a route that the system does not automatically generate. You don't even have to be on a street. You can be on a hiking trail or camping or whatever you want to do. And I know we've discussed this in the past, but I thought I would bring it up since, you know, some people are probably going to go camping and be on trails and things like that. So what you'll do is you'll go to your root menu, R for roots, and then O for open, and you will basically open a root that does not exist. And you'll be prompted the standard drive folder name, file name, and you give it the file name that you want to call it. And then you are placed in an empty root. So you would put your first waypoint where you want to begin the root. So on a BT keyboard, it is space with .2. And on a QT, it is read with K. And that will start your first point. Then you move to the second point. You know, maybe it's a junction in the woods where there's two paths and you want to take the right one. You would drop your next waypoint. And then it'll say straight, left, or right. And you hit R for right, and then you make the turn, and you continue plotting your route that way.
You're taping this, right, Chris?
Yes.
I think he is electronically recording the digital.
Chris, have you ever tried, when you'd manually create a route, the last waypoint in the route, make it, I usually make it a straight turn, like no turn, but I wonder if you made it like a left-hand or a right-hand turn, that it would tell you, give you some indication when you're following the route, then that the destination will be on the right or on the left. I've never done it, but in theory, I guess that's what would happen.
I've never done it either because I've always done straight points myself. I will do it this week and let you know.
So, Elaine, what are you liking about 4.0 since you just got it?
The help system. I think that's fantastic.
And you know that wasn't even something that was, it was on our radar, but it was not one of the high priority items. And don't tell anyone, but Mike was on away on vacation, and when he came back, Chris and I had completely integrated that new help system.
Fantastic.
You guys did a great job with that.
Thank you. And Chris definitely deserves a lot of credit for keeping me on track and helping me organize the different sections of the help system and making sure that the hotkeys to the things all made sense and tested it for me. And yeah, within 3 or 4 days we were able to knock that right out. Then the hard part was making sure that it was consistent throughout the program and that when you exited out, you know, one way it would work the same way. And there's all these different hotkeys into the menu system, like the root submenu and the option submenu, and having a root menu was just huge because the old way was just so arcane and convoluted, and you had to, like, if you didn't remember what the command was, you'd have to hit help and get all those list of things in the root command system before. So it's really nice to be able to go through the root menu. And now you actually have like 3 submenus for roots because there's so much there.
And also one thing we did too that we're on the topic of this menu system, under the Sendero documentation and quick reference guide, you will notice the commands model the help system.
Well, that's one of the things that as a new user, I mean, if you can't find anything, that is frustrating. And the fact that it's easy and logical to find all this material makes you want to go out and try it again and do different things. And so I think I'm glad that it was so logically thought through.
Yeah, that was, thank you for that. We definitely spent a lot of time in that area. And we wanted this to be a real, you know, for old users, we wanted them to be able to still understand everything and be able to get to things quickly. So we kept a lot of the hotkeys the same that we had before, like RS to save a route and things like that, and RP to create a pedestrian route. Basically, when you're typing those commands, you're going into the menu system and using those hotkeys. So that's why we really wanted to keep old users to have the same hotkeys and new users to be able to use the menu system and get around efficiently and quickly and not get frustrated like the old health system had where you had to listen through 100 different options to find the one that you want. And, you know, if you missed it, you're kind of SOL.
The help menu is real helpful. I can't seem to remember what I did the day before, so it does help.
Yeah, Try to go back to 3.5 now after you've had a taste of 4.0. It's painful. Ask Chris, he's done it, and it's painful.
Well, what's even worse is going back to 3.5 on a Qt with the commands that are changed.
My favorite is I always hit the escape, and it says, do you want to exit GPS or not? I constantly hit the no on that, and I love it.
I also like how the GPS gives a fix real quick now. It's much better.
Yeah, I have a question. This is Steve in Lansing, and Chris, thank you for looking into my... I haven't reinstalled my 4.0 on the PK yet, but I'm going to do that later tonight. But when I'm in... if I bring up a list of favorites, nearest poise with the you know, with the F key, if I exit out of that list, I get the message, do I want to exit the GPS program, yes or no? And if I say no, then I'm back in the list of favorites. So I guess I have to just, if I want to issue another command, I can do that. But I guess it just puts me back in the list of favorites rather than just putting me back into the program itself.
Sort of. When you hit F and you get your points of interest, you're not in any list. It just announces the first one. Now, then you can use, you know, space dot four, space dot one to go up and down the list, or the QWERTY, I don't know, it's up and down arrow key or left or right, I can't remember now. But you're not in, really in the list. You are still in the main program. So after you hit F and tells you the nearest point of interest, you can hit A for address, G for GPS status. You're in the program. We haven't yet put you into a, quote, list of them. You can move sort of through the list by issuing that command, and it'll just keep announcing the next one along, you know, the next nearest, and so forth. But every time you exit that, type that, like space dot four or space dot one, all you're doing is just announcing it and going right back into the main program, main GPS program. So, and that's kind of hard for a lot of people to understand, and maybe in a future release we might actually put you into a list, and then, you know, then you'll actually be able to do hit hotkeys to get to the POI that's starting with A. You can type A or type B to get to POIs that start with B that, you know, that matched your search, but we haven't done that yet, and that might be where we're going to go, because a lot of people seem to, as you pointed out, seem to think that, oh, I'm in the list now, and I want to get back to the main program. You're not in the list. You're actually in the main program after you type an F or a space F and do an advanced POI search. It just tells you the nearest point of interest, and that's it. You're back in the main program. And you can go to the, keep going using those commands, but those are just, you know, regular commands in the main program.
Ah, okay, that makes sense. Yeah, that hotkey thing, that would be nice. Sometimes if I'm like if I'm near a mall, of course, it lists all the different businesses in the mall, and you know, when you request the nearest POI, you can get 150 hits.
Yeah, and that's definitely something that we'll really consider for the next version, is to put you into a real list, just like when you're editing waypoints or editing your own points of interest, you're in a list of them, and have different, you know, keys to jump you 10 forward or 10 back or single forward or single back, and then be able to get to the first one that starts with a specific letter, and maybe even be able to search within those for a specific thing. So all of those things, like you would type B and then it'll go to the B's, and you keep typing B and it'll go through and scroll you through all of the B's and then bring you back to the beginning of the POIs that start with B. So that definitely is something that we've considered, just haven't done it yet, you know. And if a lot of people think that that's a great idea, then we'll do that. And, you know, maybe F and space F will behave the way that it currently is. Or maybe that'll bring you into a list, and maybe dot 4, which is the hotkey, will just announce the nearest one and not bring you in that list. We'll have to figure out a way to keep it the same behavior as it currently is, but have the ability to go into this list if you want it to go into a list. So we'll have to really think about the UI to make it straightforward and intuitive.
Yeah, that might be something for us to spend our points on if they do the next feature buying game sometime next year.
Yeah. Were you part of that, or have you just heard about that? I can't remember.
I was part of it, but I didn't really participate because I'd just gotten my 3.5 PK, so I really didn't consider myself really conversant with the program yet.
Yeah, I thought we were missing a few people in the actual game itself. It was a lot of fun. Elaine, don't you think that it was a hoot?
Yeah, it sure was a hoot.
I heard from others who did participate. They said they really, really liked it, and I hope that when you guys do it again, I can participate in it the next time.
Well, I think we will probably do it again, and we'll probably do it at CSUN as well next year. Or, you know, maybe we'll do something even sooner, depending on when we release the next version of the product. But we still have a ton of bio features from the last one that hasn't been done yet, so we may just, you know, may just use those unless people really want to reevaluate them, and we can put them back on the table this time around and say that, you know, when we're doing the game, oh, this bio feature actually was bought last time but didn't make it into the program. You know, do you want to buy it again this time? You know, so maybe we'll do something like that. But I agree, it was a lot of fun, and I think, Chris, I don't remember if you had to actually do booth duty, so you weren't really a part of that. It was definitely a lot of fun, though.
No, I was in the room with you.
Yeah, okay. I think Carl or someone else was covering our booth at the time, but maybe we'll have it a little sooner this year, because I think we're trying to have our next release by CSUN. I think that's what the plan is, but you never know. Things change, and, you know, we're right now working with HumanWare to fix issues with GPS and their current version of 7.5 that's in beta. So we're working with them, and they're fixing issues, and we're fixing issues. So that's why this next patch is coming out. It's going to fix a few of these things that HumanWare and our users have found.
Question. So, Chris, now, I saw this on the email list here, going back and forth. 7.5 with HumanWare update. Well, I understood that they were having a problem with PK for the upgrade, that maybe after this 7.5, the next upgrade, that there may not be a full upgrade for the PK. Can you shed some light on that? Is that going to be phasing out? And then if so, is you guys not going to be doing no upgrade with the PK too?
I have not heard this. So that's just rumors. The only thing that they're not supporting moving forward is the Classic. We're already not supporting it. In 4.0, it was just too slow and not enough memory, so we already abandoned the Classic, unfortunately, and I really didn't want to do that. I really wanted to have at least 4.0 to work on the Classic, and it just wasn't going to happen. And no, I have not heard that the PK won't be supported. All indications from HumanWare is that, they sell a lot of those things, and they would shoot themselves in the foot, especially with the Braille Sense and the Voice Sense coming out in such a small form factor, that they need a small unit to compete with them. So I think that they're definitely going to be sticking with the PK. I don't know anything to the contrary, so I think these are just rumors that are floating around, and I don't think they have any merit whatsoever.
I would agree with you.
I saw Jonathan Mosen on the talk list, and I guess he's working on the cell phone now.
That's interesting. Jonathan Mosen, wasn't he originally with HumanWare, and then he left, and now he's with FSI?
Yes, that's correct.
So, okay, I didn't hear that he was planning on doing a cell phone system at all. That's news to me, but you know, Sendero has a grant currently to do work on with GPS on a cell phone, and so we're definitely looking into that arena as well.
Yeah, when I, you know, he's asking people questions on there, and he said he wanted to get a cell phone and have Skype on it. So so he was talking about, I think, the E61, whatever they're using over in Europe. And so that kind of brought up a red flag there. I go, he's up to something.
Hey, I have a question. I'm kind of, I use Trekker as well, because we're a dealer. Yesterday, I had my PK, which is my personal unit, and I had, you know, the Sendero 4.0, and I was in the middle of a park. And unfortunately, I hadn't set a manual route or anything. So when I tried to find out where it was, of course, it says, address unknown, because I was in the middle of a park. Is there any possibility in maybe the next version that you can have something that, or is there a way now, which maybe I don't know, to tell me like where the nearest street is or what heading it is?
Wow, this must have been a really big park, because normally we would actually search out in all directions to find the nearest street. If you could, if it's not, you know, in the middle of nowhere, can you send me the lat lawn of that as well as the state that you're in, so that I can try to figure out what's going on? Because you theoretically should be able to press A for address or X for intersection, and it should be able to find one. So I'm surprised it didn't do that. And it should tell you how far away it is now. You know, so it won't just tell you an address, but it'll say, like, 500 feet, you know, ahead to or north to, you know, such and such a street at this address. So I'm surprised at that. So, yeah, please, if you can reproduce it again, or even give me a replay of your trek through the park, and that might even be better, because then I can load that and see when it starts to fail. If you start walking in from one of these streets, and then I'll be able to actually watch it real time and see when all of a sudden the addresses don't start working, because that shouldn't happen. So if you can do that again for us, that would be great.
Well, I did save, I did put a user point of interest in where I was sitting, so that probably be the closest I can do. I don't know if I had replay enabled. I didn't deliberately enable it, so I'm not sure if there's going to be a replay there, but I can always go back there. It's just 3 or 4 miles away.
Right. Well, maybe send us that lat lawn as a starting point, and I can look at that. That should give us something. So yeah, thanks.
Kind of reminds me of a question in terms of sending you things. Where, you know, I know how to create the points of interest files and stuff, but where do you physically go to select a file to email it to you? I know it's got to be in the structure there somewhere, but I'm just not aware of where it might be.
The user POIs are in the maps folder in a file called user.poi. The routes are wherever you put them. So if you create a folder called routes and put them in your routes folder, then that's where those are. So what you can do is, if it's the user.poi file, say for example, you can put your user.poi file into your card reader on your PC, or you can actually email it directly from the Braille note as an attachment. But if you put it in your PC, you'd attach the user.poi file in your maps folder on your compact flash card.
And then also just tell us what point of interest it is, to give us the name of it, so I'll know which one to look for.
Sounds good.
And also the state that you're in would be appreciated as well.
Yeah, just having a lat lawn doesn't tell us too much. It's like, oh geez, what state is that in? And we have to start looking it up on a map and all this stuff. So yeah, tell us what state you're in would help. There should be a public domain program that will, you could give it a lat lawn and it'll tell you what state that's in. That'd be a great little program.
Boy, Charles, if you guys are going to play with cell phones, I hope that something can be done with GPS. Everybody goes for the ATT phones because of the working structure, and I guess it's easier to make it work with screen readers. But at Verizon, we're stuck with whatever they pass out to us every now and then, which is sort of accessible, but not totally. And thus far, cell phones and GPS don't work together on that particular system. So I hope that Sendero would eventually work with Verizon, because I don't plan to go on AT&T anytime soon.
I think that some of the smartphones with Verizon, I think there's one of them at least that, and I could be wrong, but they run Windows Mobile, and you could get MobileSpeak Pocket running on one of those phones.
Yeah, I think it's the PC6700, but I wouldn't swear to it.
There's actually the Motorola Q with Verizon, and then there's another one, but they're mighty expensive, unfortunately, and then you put MobileSpeak on top of that. So I agree. I hope that, you know, Sendero and others will work with Verizon.
We will be looking at all different options, and we're probably at this point looking at something that runs Windows Mobile, because that's what our SDK is currently compiled for. So, but who knows? We're just getting our feet wet right now, and we need to start looking at that pretty quickly.
So you'll be working with Windows Mobile. You're not going to be working with any of the Syndian phone at all. And another thing is that that's a question I have there for you, Charles. The other thing is that, you know, my Nokia phone, you know, I got the N95, but, you know, there's a lot of neat feature into it, but, you know, it's like anything, you know, you get your receiver, your Bluetooth turn on, you use your receiver, and you got other things on, and the battery life on it will not last at all. And that's the downside of, you know, when they put the GPS on these phones, you'll be drawing a lot of juice too, and it just will really drain down real quick, you know. But that my phone, well, the stuff I got downloaded into it, I have it on standby. Maybe in 2 days I have to recharge it.
Yeah, no, I hear you. Actually, I really doubt that we would go Symbian, just because Wayfinder is already on Symbian, and so I really doubt that we would be trying that route. But who knows? Right now, because of our SDK is currently Windows Mobile, potentially accessible, so I think our first bet would probably be something a Windows Mobile-based cell phone at this point in time.
Well, I gotta go. Nice sharing the information with everyone. Y'all take care, and see you maybe in 2 weeks. Take care. I guess he'd be going to his first BVA convention. I'll be there Tuesday. I'll see if I can run into Mike.
And Chris is going on a little adventure this week, right, Chris?
Yeah, I'm going to Camp T in Michigan, and we're doing a GPS adventure Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. It's sponsored by the camp down there, so there's going to be quite a bit of people with all different systems represented. The Trekker, I believe, will be there. Our product will be there, and I'm not sure about any other ones, but I know those two will have a presence.
I think that'll be really cool to see the Trekker and the Sendero 4.0 and maybe even a PK, a Pac-Mate, go head-to-head on some of this. I think that would be a real hoot to see exactly how they all fare out.
I have not yet. You know, I had my hand on the Trekker for about 4 months, and besides the Sendero one I own, but I have not yet heard how the Pac-Mate worked from anybody. I was asked to go interview a couple veterans so that they're home for the what type of GPS they might want, and I went ahead and but one thing, I give them all the information that they need on everything, but I could not talk about the Pac-Mate at all. Maybe I'll see somebody there at the BBA convention to have one that sheds me some light on it, because I just don't even have a clue.
From what little I've seen of it, you're not missing a whole lot.
I know people say, oh, it's cheaper and da-da-da, you know. But if you go to Sendero, you're going to pay an arm and a leg, and Yeah, but I'd say you get a lot more, but I can't speak for Acme at all. But I like the tracker for the size of it. I think it's good, but it does not give out the information that you really want once you have the Sendero product. So I have to take the bigger unit, but I'm happier because I get better information than having a little unit that can slip in your coat pocket.
I can't tell you a lot about the Street Talk. I know my twin brother now has the Pac-Mate and went over to play with the Street Talk, and evidently they haven't been around as long, so they're really in their infancy in terms of GPS. I think he said their maps right now are still in 2003, so they haven't updated for a while, but I guess they're due for an upgrade when their Ultra Pac-Mate comes out in the fall, so they may do a pretty substantial upgrade then. But again, apparently they're new to the GPS field, so they've still got some growing to do. So, but it's good for competition. I think the more competition, the better.
One thing that's going to be interesting, and Chris, hopefully I'll get to see you. I'm going to be up there on at Camp T on Saturday. So hopefully I'll get to put a face with the voice. But the one thing that's interesting with that is the Trekker, you can't do the waypoints like you can with the Sendero product. So it'll be interesting to see how those two compare when you're out wandering around in the woods.
Well, if I were them, they probably will just do it by point of interest to point of interest to point of interest, and sort of like do a breadcrumb type thing. It won't be as seamless as ours, being able to actually create a full-fledged route and be able to then follow the route off-road and be able to say, approaching left-hand turn. Turn now onto path between the oak trees, So that'll be really cool to see.
I could see them going out in the park somewhere, walking around, doing the walk around, and all of a sudden, Trekker will come out. Sendero, help me. Help me. I'm lost. Get me out of the wood.
Well, one thing I did when I was in Phoenix, I was in a resort, and I went around with an orientation and mobility instructor, one of the volunteers there, and we marked using points of interest the entryways to different buildings that I needed to get to. I think there were like three or four. And instead of creating a route, I just set the waypoint as my destination, or the POI, excuse me, as my destination, and used the getting warmer method and made it every time. So it really depends on the situation and what, a person's in the mood to do as well.
Well, since Sendero don't have a map for Romania, when I be there in about 3 weeks, I think. Yes, 3 weeks I'll be in Romania. So, I'll be there for almost 5 weeks, so I'll be using that breadcrumb for a lot of places.
Yeah, I don't even know if we even have a Romania as a possibility of a map, Jerry. I would have to look at our documentation and just sort of see. Now, is that, I really don't know where Romania is exactly. Is that part of Europe proper, or is it outside of Europe and considered more, one of the Scandinavian countries or Asian countries?
When you go to Europe, like from here, from our time here is 7 hours different in time, and Romania is 8 hours different. Romania is Central Europe, and along the border of Romania, you got the Black Sea, Turkey, Italy, Czechoslovakia, Ukraine, is the surrounding country. There's a few other, Hungary, I think, is around that. So I think that kind of helped you out a little there.
Yeah, it does. Contact me off list there, Jerry, or I'll contact you. I have your email address. If I have the map, potentially I could create one, but it may, because we don't have any people that are asking for it, it would only be for you. We may have to charge you more for that map, but if you're interested, we may be able to do something, if I have it.
Yeah, I'd be interested. Yeah, I'd be interested. Well, let me know how much it'll be first. Hey, $10,000, Jerry. Here's your map. Pay up. I'm gonna have to run into the shell and hide it. I have my my nephew, my wife's nephew. You know, they have a computer company now, and they started back in 2000, and now, you know, they started with just three guys, and now they bought a small business. Now they bought a bigger business, about invested $500,000. They invested €350,000 for a new office. And they got people, and they're really expanding. So some of the devices I'm going to be showing them to him and tell him that it would be a good technology for you to get in, to see if you could get somebody into his business, because they're really growing and they're becoming, oh, I wouldn't be surprised. They'd be one of the bigger companies there in computer in Bucharest, Romania. I don't know yet, but he's getting very big.
Do you know if they sell Braille notes in Romania? And if you're going to be promoting GPS when you're there, you know, maybe we might be able to give you a break, because normally I think for certain countries that we don't have any countries, I think we were paying. I forget what we were charging to do the development on them. Yeah, but yeah, if you're going to be, you know, potentially seeing people down there and promoting it, then we might be able to give you a break as well. You know, the base price is $100 for a new country. Everyone's that one. But if we don't have the map to begin with, then we have to charge more, because we have to create the map, and if there's not a demand for it. But if you're going down there to create some demand, you know, that might be worth something to us as well. So send me an email, and we'll see where we go from there. I don't even know if we have it, so I'm not promising anything. I'm just letting you know what the things are. I think we have done it in the past, but I think one person was charged $1,000 to get a new country. But then again, we'll see what is all involved in everything. But yeah, so we'll see what we can do.
Yeah. I'm always, when I was there before, I went in and made an appointment to go see somebody regarding agency, a school for the blind, you know, and that was a difficult task. But I'd be more than happy, because anything I can always do, I even told my wife I can do when I'm there, I will do it. And I'm always trying to promote and stuff like that, but I don't like to promote something to somebody that they're going to get their hope. You know, if I get their hope, you know, have them look at something and wish they would have it, but their hope would not be there, because they will never see the money to get the money to buy the product. So, you can also maybe find some contacts there in Bucharest, and I'd be more than happy to go to these people and show them and demonstrate it too. And for you guys.
Sounds good. So anyway, I'll look to see if we have the maps to, you know, that I just haven't converted yet, and then we'll see what's involved in converting them and see, you know, what Mike thinks about all of this. So anyway, it's a long shot, but we'll keep that in mind. So you're going in a couple weeks, you said?
Well, Tuesday I'd be in New Mexico, and then September the 4th I was flying out of here, out of San Antonio, and then we're in September the 5th, we'll be in Bucharest, and we leave Bucharest October the 7th, and then we'll spend a couple days in Munich.
Okay, sounds good. Thanks, Jerry.
Sure. You know, when I took that, when I finished my course to get certified as an ATI instructor, I learned a lot of different methods and new ways of working around trying to do a thing and never stop learning.
Okay, gang, I gotta leave. I'll talk to you all next week. See you later.
So long.
I'll wait for that map.
Yeah, thanks for an informative chat.
Any other questions?
Well, I just wondered, with my Holux, unless I put like an elastic band or something, twice now it has fallen out of my case. I'm wondering if anybody has any cool ideas for securing that, since the one end is opened.
Yeah. The newer cases, you must have one of the first cases that we shipped with the Holux. The newer cases have a lid that snaps behind it so it wouldn't fall out of your case. I think that they are $10 to $15 if you're interested in that, but that's one way that you can go.
I don't, I've had mine for about a year, and it fits pretty snugly down into that case. And then if you strap the belt loop to your strap on your Braille note, it stays in there pretty good, or at least mine does.
Do you have a top on yours where it snaps over the top, or is the top exposed?
The top is exposed.
I had the top that was exposed, and mine was constantly coming out for some reason, even though it was snug. And I have the new case, and I love the new case. It snaps over, and then there's Velcro, which attaches to the back of the strap.
Yeah, I'm the same as you. I had the old case, and the receiver would slide out.
Well, shoot, it doesn't hurt me that much to buy a new case. Maybe I'll just do that. If it means the receiver's going to be safer, it's worth the $10 or $15.
Right. I didn't know that was available. I'm definitely going to look into that, and thank you very much.
You're very welcome.
Maybe don't tell Mike, but maybe when I see him in New Mexico, when he lays his receiver down, I'll switch case with him.
I think you just told him.
Hey, if you want to get a discount on the maps, I wouldn't touch his case.
Good thinking.
I usually keep my receiver connected to the strap at all times, and it seems to work out good. Even when I'm charging it, I just put the USB cable through the end at the bottom and charge the receiver.
Interesting. You know, I had mine attached to my strap yesterday while I was walking around, but my only thought was, well, if I put the Braille note back into the backpack, I just wondered if stuff might accidentally bump the receiver and cause problems, because I've got other stuff in the backpack besides the Braille note, and I carry it with me to work and so forth, and stuff gets moved around in there. So I was a little worried about how safe the receiver would be if it got jostled around in there. So normally I take it off of the strap and I put it in a small little pouch next to my cell phone, and so I don't know whether I'll leave it that way or put it on the strap. I guess it just depends on how much it might get jostled around in that big wide compartment of the backpack.
Yeah, I suppose it depends on if it comes off when it's in the backpack and how many times you have to search for it in the backpack. But either way, it should be fine. You know, if you put it, continue to do what you're doing, then you know it works for you, and just put it on the strap when you're using it. But I hardly ever take mine off.
What about putting it in your pocket? I just put mine in my pocket.
I've also done that as well.
I think I'll order the new case myself. I'll not steal mine, because if I can get the map, if I steal his, I will not get the map. I don't think they have it ready anyway, but they do, which would be greatly appreciated. And yes, GPS, I will be demonstrating it when I'm there anyway. So that's going to be a lot of fun.
Does anybody remember version 1.0 that had no maps?
No, I don't remember. I don't think it was 1.0, but wasn't it? I don't think, was it 2? I don't think 2.0 had maps either, did it?
You know, Chris, I follow you guys from the beginning. And then when it got up to the 3.0, that's when I asked to get one, like four years ago. And when I was in Los Angeles, you know, and it was approved by the Bro guy, but Jamie Fogg, who was the chief of prosthetic there, think he was buying everything out of his pocket. So it got flatly turned down. But when you guys got up to the 3.0, at one. I said, this is time to get one. And I got the first one when it was 3.1, but I know in your dinosaur days, you guys, how you had to do it.
I know there were maps in 2.0 because I had the CDs for years, and all the wire and the cable and the stuff like that. So I was really happy when 3.5 came along and all that stuff went into my trash can.
Yeah, we actually 1.0 was the first version of the GPS that was out, and it had the Magellan receiver with the Braille note or voice note, and that came out in 2002. The next version was 2.0 with the maps, but the first version you had hardly any maps, and you did manual route creating, and you had hardly any. You had I think a million points of interest across the United States or something, some number like that. It wasn't a lot of points of interest.
Okay, then I did have that version because I remember the old Magellan. And, oh, I just found that when I would try to reverse a route or something, half the time it wouldn't reverse. I mean, just the whole, it's just a world of difference. I just can't even imagine. It was so hard to function with that at all. We really have come such a very long way. It's incredible.
Even receiver technology. I actually on Friday pulled out the old Sportrek receiver and fired that thing up. And the accuracy that I was getting. I mean, I was getting 85 feet. 4 satellites in my house, and the accuracy was poor. So it's like now, it's unbelievable what you get with these with the GP Slim 236.
You guys really have come a long way. I'm gonna have to sign off. So I'll see you guys hopefully next week. Bye.
Have a good night.
Yeah, I remember just waiting with the old Magellan, maybe 10 minutes before the thing would acquire a position, and oh my heavens, it was pretty incredible. And just cabling that thing up. Half the time I didn't use it just because of the hassle of just getting, cabling and everything. And when somebody said, "Oh, you can go Bluetooth," I just couldn't believe how fantastic it was.
You know, the funny thing is, I bring up the 1.0 and all this stuff because. Not too long ago, Marla told me, she said, we were talking about the GPS and how, agencies think it's a toy and all this other stuff. And she said, there was this one vacation that she and I went on with her parents, and we had 1.0 with no maps and scarce points of interest. And her father and I created a route from where we were staying to the entrance to the boardwalk so that she and I could get up and go. And she told me, maybe 4 or 5 years later, that's when she realized it wasn't a toy, it was more of a tool than anything.
Well, I guess it really hit home with me when I didn't have when I didn't have it for several weeks this summer. I felt totally devastated. So I don't know if we've just created a new kind of dependence, but it's one I'll take any time.
Sure, it's a dependence, and it's a form of security. It's to be in a vehicle with sighted people and know exactly what's around you, not have to ask them where you are constantly, is a good feeling. Even if you're not, you're in a conversation with them, but you know what things that you're passing, what streets that you're on and things, even if you're not even following a route, but just that you know where you are is huge.
It is. And when I didn't have mine, when we were in Pennsylvania, the gal driving, who is an excellent map reader and driver, got lost a couple of times. And one, it was really a shame because she needed to get back to her kids. And she lost, probably an hour of time because of getting lost. And I just felt like, if I only had my GPS, this never would have happened. So, yeah, I mean, I just never thought in my lifetime that I would be in that kind of a position where I'd really know what was going on and would have some control over the whole environment. I mean, it's just terrific.
The whole idea really intrigued me when I discovered Sendero Group, when I moved into my new house, and we actually bought the Atlas Speaks product to learn the neighborhood. And the idea of, okay, taking that one step further, and now it's a GPS that you wear on your backpack, really intrigued me, but I didn't want to wear a laptop. So I waited, you know, a few months, and then they announced that they were going to run on the Braille Note with 1.0, which was like, this is cool.
Sue Sweetman, who's in here now, had introduced me to my first computer before I got my first computer, and she demonstrated the open book and stuff like that for me, and back in 1997, then I went to the VA blind rehab center for CAT training, but I think 7, 8, 9 years I came a long way from these old days of computer, and just getting, even pulling up a map from Google is great. And then also there's another way you guys can, and nobody's have not mentioned this yet, and it just crossed my mind. You call 555-8355, tell me, and they have driving direction in there too, and you can create a route from point A to point B, and you can save that, and it'll tell you how far it is to get from point A to point B, and what turn, I mean mile or feet, or before you have to do another turn, you know, you got step one, step two, you know, and you say go back, previous, or spell that, and it'll do all that too. And so beside the GPS and the Google and using your cell phone, and we have a lot of ways of finding out where we're at nowadays.
That brings up an interesting question, which is there a way with Sendero GPS to choose which type of, well, to choose shortest route, most direct route, route avoiding freeways, you know, like you would be able to do with MapQuest or one of those types of services. Is that possible?
Unfortunately, not at this time. It's not possible, but that's something we are looking into.
Shaw was mentioning that not long ago, and they're trying to work on that. Maybe the next upgrade, they'll have that in there. Does anybody know when HumanWare going to come out with their NIC upgrade, their 7.5?
Somebody said sometime in August. That's the last I heard.
That's what it says on their site. Yeah.
Hey, Sue, we can't hear you. It's just static.
Hey, Chris, when she's talking, if you, and then you can hear, maybe do a up arrow and hold down your alt key and up arrow, and they'll bring up her volume.
We'll try that.
I also will tell you, if you got somebody that real loud or not loud enough, alt up, and you, could you come in at a moderator, alt up arrow is the volume. When the person is speaking, you can turn them up, and then down arrow, turn them down.
Thank you. Well, I think if there are no more questions, I'm going to call it a night.
Well, have fun in Michigan. We'll be anxious to hear about some of your adventures.
Maybe when I come back Sunday, I'm not sure what time I'll be back. I may not be able to make it in this room. So either see you next Sunday or in 2 weeks.
Okay, sounds good.